Welcome to The Weekly, a look back at WHQR's top stories of the past 7 days. It's Saturday, April 3rd. I'm your host, Caitlin Freund. The American Rescue Act, signed into law by President Biden last month, is sending roughly $45 million to New Hanover County. Officials say $4 million of that is earmarked for infrastructure improvements they say will help create affordable housing, although it's not exactly clear how that will be worked out. Here's Ben Shockman with more.
Most of the $1.9 trillion in federal COVID relief funding is required to be related to pandemic recovery, but the act also permits local water and sewer projects. That allows the county to use $4 million to extend water and sewer along Sidbury Road in northern New Hanover County. So, how will this generate affordable housing?
What it does allow is for future developers to forego their incremental share of what the cost of water and sewer extension are.
That's County Manager Chris Coudray. He's talking about system development fees, which help fund ongoing infrastructure growth and development. Developers pay those fees when they connect new units to a utility. Legally, utilities like CFPOA can't waive these fees for individual developers, even if they're a nonprofit like Habitat for Humanity. But local governments can kick in, either for specific projects or, as in this case, in general. But once fees are lowered, what prevents a developer from simply folding the savings into its bottom line and still building luxury apartments? Coudray says that could be negotiated during rezonings.
So we can get there through the rezonings that have to happen for development that we know the community wants, that we know the building community wants to provide. There's going to be rezoning. And so I think that's the mechanism by which we accomplish that.
And while the county could already do that, even without federal money or utility improvements, lowered utility fees do give staff some additional leverage, Coudray says. So how much affordable housing will the county ask for from new projects facilitated by the Sidbury Road extension?
So those are candidly policy decisions that haven't been worked out yet.
County commissioners will vote on a non-binding outline of spending priorities for the Rescue Act funding on Monday, but the formal approval of where the money officially will be spent will come as a budget ordinance, likely in mid-May. Coudray says when that happens, there could be more specific guidelines, which could more firmly tie affordable housing requirements to lowering costs for developers. For WHQR, I'm Ben Shockman.
As coronavirus vaccines are becoming more widely available to the public, new questions are popping up, like, which vaccine is best for me? And what if I test positive for COVID between vaccine doses? I spoke to New Hanover County's Assistant Health Director for some answers. I'm at a CVS drive-thru, administering a COVID test to myself in my car. It's windy today. My Camry shakes gently as I swirl a white Q-tip up each nostril.
All right, just drop the test tube inside of that bag for me, and then close it up.
I got my first dose of the Moderna coronavirus vaccine a couple weeks ago, then had an exposure scare. If I tested positive, I wanted to know, would that affect if or when I got my second dose?
What the CDC is saying is that, yes, you do need to get your second dose.
That's Carla Turner, New Hanover County's Assistant Health Director.
And what they recommend is that you do that after you are, quote-unquote, recovered from COVID. And that's 10 days after symptom onset, if your symptoms have improved and you've not had a fever for at least 24 hours without using fever-reducing medicine, then after that, you can go ahead and get your second dose.
It's kind of stunning to think back to 12 months ago when many predictions said a coronavirus vaccine would take years. And now there's not one, but three vaccines available in the U.S. Although speedy, Turner says folks can trust the science.
But I think it's important for people to understand that the technology that was used to develop these vaccines is technology that the scientific community has been working on for decades. It's important for people to know there is nothing in the COVID vaccine that has anything to do with the infectious part of COVID. There's no live part of the virus in that vaccine that is going to make you become infected with COVID.
And that's true for all three of the vaccines currently available. While efficacy data varies between the vaccines, Turner says the best vaccine is the one in front of you.
So if that's Pfizer, get the Pfizer. If that's Moderna, get Moderna. If that's Johnson & Johnson, get that one. But the best one is the one that's available to you today.
The day after my drive-through test, my results came back negative. I'll get my second shot in a few weeks as planned. Turner says if there's a dose available to you, take it.
Everything that we're hearing from the CDC on down is the best vaccine for you is the one available to you right now. The quicker we vaccinate, hopefully the less chance of more variants developing. And the quicker we vaccinate, maybe the quicker we can start to return to some sense of normalcy.
Caitlin Freund, WHQR News. On the latest edition of our new program, The Newsroom, host and managing editor Ben Shockman sits down with Wilmington City Council Kevin Spears to discuss affordable housing, or rather, the lack of it, creating jobs and systemic racism. Then, WECT investigative reporter Ann McAdams discusses the history of the complicated and disturbing lawsuit against New Hanover County Schools District, and what might be next. Finally, a deep dive into Wilmington's affordable housing crisis, featuring in-depth reporting by WHQR's own Rachel Keith and Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. To hear that complete program, go to whqr.org. Many Wilmington residents have noticed an uptick in military aircraft flying low and loud over residential parts of the city. WHQR's Ben Shockman investigated why it's happening and what you might be able to do about it.
That is a Boeing F-18 Hornet, likely a new model Super Hornet, flying over the Murrayville neighborhood north of Wilmington. Residents here are used to aircraft landing and taking off from the Wilmington International Airport, which is just a mile away. But military aircraft clearly occupy a different register on the decibel chart. And while you can talk comfortably, even as a 737 flies overhead, when a twin-engine jet fighter flies by just a few hundred feet above the ground, the jets have been performing touch-and-go flights, doing multiple laps around the Wilmington area. For fans of military aircraft, this means plenty of chances to see the planes reasonably close up as they fly low in and out of the airport. For others, though, it means a profound nuisance. On social media, including Facebook and Nextdoor, opinions are split, with some posting things like, quote, "sounds like freedom," in all caps, while others complain of disrupted home office spaces, babies woken from naps, and even glasses shaken off of tables. According to ILM, the jets use Wilmington's airport to train, preparing to use civilian airfields in forward-deployed combat areas. In addition, the fueling company Modern Aviation signed a hot refueling contract last July when many commercial flights had been grounded due to COVID-19. The contract allows repeated touch-and-go flights and is likely to be renewed, meaning the issue probably isn't going away soon. Because ILM was originally deeded to the county by the federal government after World War II, and it gets Federal Aviation Administration grants, the military is effectively allowed to use the airport at will. And, more to the point of some complaints, they're exempt from both the 1,000-foot commercial flight floor and noise ordinances. ILM has shared the contact information for several local airbases. While these bases have noise offices, it's unclear how receptive they will be to complaints. As Port City Daily recently reported, the U.S. Marine Corps Air Station at New River has posted on its website, quote, "it's the sound of freedom." For WHQR, I'm Ben Shockman.
On Coastline this week, host Rachel Lewis-Hilburn interviews Deborah Dix Maxwell. She's the president of the New Hanover County chapter of the NAACP, which celebrates its 102nd year this May. They explore her work with the NAACP on this edition, as well as her fascinating life story so far. You can catch that full interview online at whqr.org. On this week's Around Town with Rhonda Bellamy, Rhonda spoke with the president of the 74th North Carolina Azalea Festival and the festival director. They discussed this week's festival and the rescheduling of major festival events. And that's what's happening in the Cape Fear region. As always, you can listen to our continued news coverage at 91.3 FM. Visit our website or stream us online anytime at whqr.org. For WHQR News, I'm Caitlin Freund, and this is The Weekly.